I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
Good evening. It's Wednesday, November 9th. I'm Sharon McNeary, and you're listening to the LA Report from KPCC and las.com. Here's your evening news. Proponents of a new mansion tax to fund housing and homelessness efforts in the city of L.A. are feeling good about early election results. KPCC housing reporter David Wagner looks at what we know so far about the results of Measure ULA.
The measure would tax property sales of $5 million or more and divert the revenue to affordable housing creation and efforts to address the city's homelessness crisis. The yes vote is leading with almost 54% of the vote. Supporters are not declaring victory yet, but they are optimistic. Laura Raymond co-chairs the Yes on ULA campaign.
I am sensing voters want something bold to meet the scale of the problem that we see out on our streets.
Neither LA mayoral candidate supported Measure ULA. Landlord and real estate groups told voters the tax would raise costs for renters in large apartment buildings and shoppers at retail centers. If the new mansion tax does take effect, the city estimates it will bring in anywhere from $600 million to $1.1 billion each year. Covering housing, I'm David Wagner.
David Wagner's also watching Measure LH, which would give officials in the city of Los Angeles permission to fund 75,000 new affordable housing units. Based on the results so far, it seems that LA voters want more low-income housing across the city.
With no formal opposition, it isn't all that surprising to see Measure LH far ahead with two-thirds support. The measure does not guarantee any new housing will actually get built, but it means the city can continue to put existing public funds toward housing development in parts of the city that were close to hitting voter-approved limits, such as downtown LA.
It's housing reporter David Wagner. Measure LH was on the ballot because of a California state constitutional requirement that voters must approve publicly funded low-income housing. Critics say the rule stems from a racist anti-public housing campaign back in 1950. Voters could overturn that requirement through a state initiative that will be on the ballot in 2024. LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva continues to trail his challenger, retired Long Beach Police Chief Robert Luna, in his bid for re-election, with Luna winning 56% of ballots counted so far to Villanueva's 43%. KPCC's Emily Elena Dugdale was at Villanueva's watch party, where the sheriff was in a good mood despite the numbers.
Villanueva bounded on stage at the beginning of the night to the tune of Tom Petty's classic, I Won't Back Down. And he and his wife made the rounds at every table late into the night. Before telling people to go home, he told them that he was trailing 4 years ago and won, and this time wouldn't be any different.
Villanueva also tried to ban the LA Times from covering his event, but a Times reporter did manage to get in. In the 45th Congressional District in Orange County, Republican incumbent Michelle Steele leads her Democratic challenger Jay Chen with 55% of the vote and Chen with 44%. The race is being watched nationally because it could help determine which party controls the House. KPCC's Josie Wong has more from both camps.
The two candidates both held watch parties in Buena Park, knowing they would not have final results by the end of the night. The race is unique because it features two Asian American candidates in a district that's more than a third Asian American. It's also drawn attention because Steele has accused Chen of having communist sympathies, which resonated with many in the district's large Vietnamese refugee community. Chen condemns Steele for making the claims, noting he's a Taiwanese American veteran who currently serves as an intelligence officer in the Naval Reserve. I'm Josie Huang.
The last few days of rain and snow provided much-needed relief from the ongoing drought. But don't be fooled, the water shortage is not over. Climate emergency reporter Aaron Stone has more.
Sean DeGuzman is a water supply manager for the California Department of Water Resources. He says the Sierra Mountains, where most of LA's water comes from, saw as much as 5 feet of snow. But
no, it's still really early in the year to see what may actually happen.
He says last December, the Northern Sierra saw record snowfall. But January, February, and March ended up being the driest 3 months in recorded history. UCLA climate scientist Daniel Swain says we don't know what winter might bring, but it still looks like a drier than average season ahead.
Climate change will create winters that have both very wet and very dry months in the same winter.
The wet trend will have to continue to put any real dent in the drought. Covering the climate emergency, I'm Aaron Stone.
Thanks so much for listening to the LA Report. I'm Sharon McNary. You can read more on LAist.com or listen live at kpcc.org or on the KPCC app.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.